Good morning again. It's good to be with you once again, just to discuss some things in God's Word. If you want to turn with me in the passage I'm going to begin with, it's one I think all of you know. It's going to be Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. You all know that one. But it's such a basic statement and such a basic understanding of the Bible that we must of necessity have those things that before us at all times. I like to go through it from time to time. Proverbs 23 and verse 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and do not sell it. And that just leads you in so many different directions with regard to the idea of truth, of what that means to us. It's something we're thinking. It's something as a result of our thinking that we live, that we strive to live that way. We may not live totally in harmony with the truth all the time, but that's what we're striving for. And we're thankful for the forgiveness and the mercy of our Lord. But He wants us to do that, strive to walk the narrow path. That's the thing He expects of us. And then He says, buy the truth. Purchase it. Obtain it. Seek it. Go after it. Be that person that's constantly after the truth. And again, we're not going to know all of the truth and probably be able to answer all the questions that we might have. But this is what the Lord wants of us. Buy the truth and sell it not. I guess if one like it would be if you got following along. Look over back in the 12th chapter. In the 12th chapter of Proverbs, look down at verse 17. That's kind of, there are several of them there that go together. But Proverbs, the 12th chapter, verse 17, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. That's a kind of an expanded version of the idea of buy the truth and do not sell it. And it's this idea, what's going on up here in our heart and mind, to appreciate the need for truth, and then this stamina and maturity to continue to pursue it and live by it. I just think of a verse in Jude where he makes the statement there about wandering stars and how they are simply those who lead to undoing of so many people. He says, verse 6, he says, the angels who do not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, in similar manner, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of the eternal fire. When he talks about so many different ways of saying. He said, well, like down at verse 12, he begins to personalize it. He says, these are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by wind, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead and pulled up by the roots. And, the next verse also, it comes in there, verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming up in their own shame, wandering stars. The word star, you know, is astro or asteris. But the word wandering is the word planoi. In ancient times, when they looked at stars at night and they studied them and for centuries, matter of fact, they can't find when mankind discovered what we would call the constellation of Orion. It's just always been there in studies. I don't know how long mankind has seen the stars. And when they would study the stars, they would also study and see there's some little stars that kind of wander around. They didn't know what they were. They couldn't understand them. And they would later call them planets. And that's why they're planoi, and they meant wandering. And later on, this became the word that we read right here in verse 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up in their own shame. Wandering stars. They just kind of wander all over the place. They don't walk the straight and narrow path. And we need to appreciate that, whether it's the Old Testament, Proverbs 23rd chapter, buy the truth and sell it not, or whether it's one of the last letters in the New Testament, recognize there is this challenge on our part to always have this demand of ourselves, demand of truth, facing the truth, learning the truth, dealing with the truth, having to do that. And just, again, you can go in so many different ways, because that's what the Bible is all about, this truth that he expects of us. And like we read back in Proverbs 33, by the truth, I've always been reminded of Jesus's kind of a one-verse parable. If you look with me over in Matthew, the 13th chapter, you know, sometimes it gives these parables and they're just long things and 20 verses long or something like that. But then sometimes he just gives one verse, one sentence. And this is one of them, and it has to do with that. It's the same attitude. Matthew 13 and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like what? Kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. He pays whatever price it takes to learn the truth. And it's, I think of that when I think of Proverbs 23. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. Never let it go. And there's so many points that they're just so basic to us in the way we live individually every day, the way we fellowship one another, the way we intercourse with the world around us. The idea of truth is something that's to define us. And I guess to be the most basic thing, number one would be there is a thing called truth. Contrary to what so many people in our society today seem to think, over in 2 Peter, Peter was very plain that God had revealed things unto him. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, I'll get there in a minute, excuse my fingers this morning. 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It was not humanly discovered. It may come that point when we would find the truth. But when we talk about truth as it exists just in its obvious state, truth, it's something that was revealed by God. It's something that God has brought about. It's something that's spiritual. It's not physical, it's not secular. It is an idea of understanding there is a, well, you're there with me in 2 Peter. I look back in the first chapter. He says in verse 3 there, as his divine power. He says divine power has done something. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory. Jesus talked about the Spirit of truth. In John 16, said, the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will carry you into all the truth. He will make known to you. He will reveal those things to you, and that you would be able to know. And again, that's where I would start in our understanding, is that truly what we call the truth is something that has been revealed by God. It hadn't just been part of the secular thinking of mankind. Contrast that with like Cain in Genesis, the 4th chapter. You read verse 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the field to the offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord, and also Abel brought to the firstborn his flock and their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And for this, Cain was very wroth, very angry. He was upset. God had obviously revealed to this, what we talk about as you read over in Hebrews 11th chapter, that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Just that thought of thinking that truth in the real way has been revealed to him. Truth governs our relationship to God. And it's just probably the most basic idea that we can start with in the study of the Bible is understanding the truth that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And we look down at verse, let's begin verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. Verse 10, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, for this reason God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Truth in all other areas is found in life that is something that we understand, but we're talking about here this morning just the revealed will of God. It is the spiritual truth that identifies us as a spiritual being. It is absolute. It's not relative. It's not somebody knows it and other people don't have to know that. It is objective and it's not subjective. It's not merely for what each one may think, which is so popular in our society today. Over in Acts, the 26th chapter, Paul is standing before Agrippa, and he begins his speech, or part of the beginning of his speech. He makes it in Acts 26, down about verse 8. He says, why should it be thought incredible to you that God raises the dead? Verse 9, indeed, I myself thought I might do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. The revelation of truth was certainly objective, but not subjective. Paul recognized, I have to come into align with what the truth of God is. Not merely what I think about it. It is this the truth? That's where he gets to speaking with Timothy, where he says over 2 Timothy 3, he said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. He said, this is what's going to connect us with our understanding of the Creator himself. There is such a thing as truth, contrary to the popular idea that we have today. And that's one of the most basic things we have to deal with. That when people begin to think I can do and practice and go as I please, you say no and you're challenged immediately and they don't want to accept anything around the spiritual idea. But this truth is exceedingly important. This truth we're talking about, the truth that Jesus taught. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. It's that important. That idea that happens up here. Buy the truth and do not sell it. And all of the passages throughout Proverbs and even also David in Psalms, all of the passages about truth are pointing us to learn it and then keep it. Make it a part of your life. Back in 1 Peter again. 1 Peter, first chapter. Read down at about verse 22. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. He says, and again, we're talking about just this idea of the place of truth in our lives. In verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Since you've purified your souls in obeying the truth. He said, verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's the point we need to keep in mind. And then you could continue with it in verse 24. All flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. And the grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It's that thing we have to get in our minds and understand. We kind of touched on it a little bit in class this morning, talking about this desire to learn God's will and then to apply ourselves to it and do it for no other reason other than God said, do it. That's what we need to be. Look with me over in Romans, the second chapter. In Romans, the second chapter, and you begin about verse 5. Romans 2 and about verse 5, Paul's addressing the Jewish idea of what their thinking was of who they were and what they were in history. But we can't read all of it. Look with me about verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you're treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Obeying the truth, knowing the truth first of all, and then obeying that truth is extremely important. And yet, it is a part of our society. And it's a part of history. Of like Pilate said, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus was born before him, he just said, what is truth? And I can understand that coming from him as just a politician. His position was not one of really being concerned about what God would have mankind do, but his answer was, what is truth? And it's something other than what he was thinking. Contrast that with, John writes a letter, one of his epistles, over in 2 John, and just look at how he begins the letter. It's a short letter, some 13 verses, but just the first three or four verses. 2 John, we'll just begin verse 1. He writes, to the elect lady, her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Verse 2, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, peace will be with you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son of the Father in truth and love. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. I mean, and John writes like that all the time. This idea of talking to people and addressing them about some issue and that involved in that is truth somewhere and quite often. Just the way he, and I mean, you write a letter, say 13 verses to some, and first four or five verses is having to do with the truth. Like in verse 6, this is the love of God that we walk according to his commandments. He's describing our life, our purpose of life, our standard of life by just truth. Just like Proverbs 23 said, buy the truth and don't let it go. Never let it slip through your fingers. Go with me over to Galatians. In Galatians, and just all through Galatians. Galatians, the second chapter. In Galatians, the second chapter, Paul would write and say, he's talking about his attitude toward truth here. In verse 3, Galatians 2, verse 3, talking about whether Titus would be compelled to be circumcised when they're in discussion of that question. But verse 3, yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Verse 5, to whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel may continue with you. Everything Paul did even in a confrontation about some issue of the Old and New Testament. To Paul, it was this question of truth. What are we going to, how are we going to live? How are we going to speak? What are we going to be? Well, continue on down in that chapter, there in Galatians, the second chapter, he begins to talk about Peter. Peter got all wrapped up and didn't make the right decision a couple of times. But verse 14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth, and then he adds, the truth of the gospel. He said, I said to Peter before them all, if you're being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to look like the Jews? I mean, obvious contradiction in actions, and that would be bad enough, but it's reflecting back on Peter. What are you thinking here? What are you trying to imply in people's hearts and minds? Just by your actions, and because you know they're going to ask you, what were you thinking? Or there in Galatians, third chapter, verse 1, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? He's talking about the truth. And they're misunderstanding something. Or going further down in the fifth chapter, and we'll just read one more. Fifth chapter, verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The truth, and we first of all start off with, there is a thing called truth. And it's, number two, exceedingly important. It describes us. It describes, first of all, how we're thinking. Because we're to buy the truth and not sell it. It's to define us, that we're to live by it. We're to be people of the truth. That's what we need to keep in mind. Just, and again, as every one of us knows, Proverbs 23:23. Buying the truth may be something we can say like that. But obtaining that truth and making it be identified with our identity, that's not as easy. It's not easy to do as it is to say. And which, as a result, not only is there a truth, and that truth is exceedingly important, then it's quite obvious that our truth that we have has to be obtained at all cost. And that takes us back to Matthew 23 again. That somebody who recognized a treasure, not something they could make a quick dollar on, they recognized something that was a treasure, and they went and sold everything they had, and then went and obtained, they obtained that treasure. Jesus is talking about the truth there. Is that our attitude toward it? It cost those who brought us the truth. It cost the Son of God. I mean, it is ideas that are far beyond truly our ability to comprehend, that the Creator of the universe was nailed to a cross. Just like John, the Gospel of John starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? Was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He was the eternal Creator. How that works out, that he winds up being born in a barn and laid in a feeding trough and lives the kind of life he lived. It's the greatest story ever told. It really is. And the cost for him was tremendous. And not just him, but he paid the tremendous cost that we should pay at all price. And then his apostles. He didn't choose the greatest educated Harvard graduates that ever existed. Maybe some people think the Apostle Paul was along that line. We've talked before that he couldn't speak one language or two. He wasn't trilingual. Some think he was quadrilingual, I guess you'd say that. He was tremendously educated. You just read some of his letters, you just see that he doesn't write like John and Peter. But that wasn't the qualification. The qualification was just having enough faith, confidence, and conviction to do what the Lord would have you to do. Or those later on who would preach the gospel. Those who would live the gospel. And it's never been easy. It never will be easy. But it should be obtained at all cost. And in bringing it down to us, we should study that word. We should research the word. What was read to us just a few moments ago in Acts, the 17th chapter, this tremendous attitude on the part of the Bereans. It just says in verse 11 that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks and prominent women, as well as men. There was a price to pay. There were things you had to give up. There were things you had to endure, but there were blessings to be enjoyed. And that's, again, the point that Paul makes when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. He says, study to show yourself approved to God, or give diligence to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The knowledge of it must be turned into the actions of our life. The truth that we have becomes that which is first in our life. We put it ahead of every earthly idea. Back to the idea again, buy the truth and sell it not. Truth in religion, as we think about our service to God, is retained by all costs. They not only paid the cost, but we continue those who have it. Don't let it slip away. Hebrews, the second chapter, you can tell the way he writes, he's talking to Jewish people who have become Christians, and they're beginning to have some questions maybe. But in Hebrews 2, we read verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed. Talk about what they're thinking again. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we don't apply what we know from God to our lives? It's possible that we begin maybe to have doubts to apply God's word to our life. Maybe we're foregoing things in this world that we don't really have to. We begin to make adjustments and make certain decisions that put us many times in the wrong positions, or maybe we just stop. You know, like by the time you get over in the fifth chapter, he makes that statement in verse 12. He says, For by this time you ought to be what? He says, for this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Boy, what a slap in the face. What a wake-up call. He goes on to say, the first principles of the oracle is God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. By failure, we need to recall things. Going back to Peter again, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, he tells us in verse 12, he says, for this reason, he previously said to him, he said, add unto your faith those things we've memorized since we were kids. Add into your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And he goes on to tell them, he says, for he that lacks these things, verse 9, is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. Verse 12, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. That's the attitude of an elder or a gospel preacher or a parent who is teaching their young ones or the congregation or addressing themselves to issues and questions among the brethren. Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't sell it for money. Don't sell it for popularity. Don't sell it for the ease of this life. Don't compromise it. Don't seek unity with the world. Stand with the Word of God. We're to buy the truth. Have we done that? Have we determined, I'm going to buy that. It's going to be mine. It's going to be the way I live my life. Sometimes you're out buying a car. One day you finally decide, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and buy it. You know that. Or comes to a point in your life where you hear the truth and you say, that's what I'm going to believe and that's what I'm going to live. Or maybe like in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, you by this time you have to teach you again. Are we at that point? By the truth. The truth is what connects us in our thoughts and the design and teachings and the doctrines and the things that God would have us to be and do. By the truth. And sell it not. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, you do need to be. Paul said, or Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It was that simple, but it's that serious. Understanding what those words were. Go preach the gospel, whatever that means. It means the good news of what the Son of God has done for us. And those who have such a conviction of faith that they're willing to live it and obey it. We have someone here like that this morning. We'd be glad to baptize you into the body of Christ. And we have someone here who needs to make things right. Ask God's forgiveness. Ask the brethren to pray for you. We'd be glad to do that also. If you're subject, would you please come? We're standing and sing.